And welcome back to Chambers Changes and Conversations, where local government comes together through leadership, learning, and lasting impact. I'm Communications Division Manager Casey Zempel, joined by Government Relations Director Stephanie Garrison. And today, we're happy to welcome a history maker in Manatee County government. In 2016, Angel Coloniso became the first woman elected as Manatee County Clerk of the Circuit Court and Comptroller, a constitutional officer responsible for safeguarding public records, managing county finances, and supporting our judicial system. Her work touches nearly every resident, whether they realize it or not, from recording deeds and issuing marriage licenses to maintaining court records and ensuring financial transparency. She's also carried forward the legacy of her predecessor, the late Chip Shore, whose decades of service left a lasting impact on our community. Clerk Coloniso, welcome to Chambers Changes and Conversations.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here today.
It's so great to have you. And I'm so glad that you're here. You're the first of what we call our constitutional officers. Tell us, what is a constitutional officer?
There are five of us, and it involves the clerk, myself, the tax collector, the property appraiser, the supervisor of elections, and the sheriff.
That's awesome. And I wanted just to, for those who may not know you, get to know your background, because you didn't just wake up one morning and become the county clerk.
No.
It's an elected position, as you said. And where did your career start off? Like, where, if there's, you know, for the young folks out there, if they were interested in becoming a clerk, where might they start?
When I was, I won't go back this far the whole time, but when I was 10, I wanted to be a lawyer. So I knew then, and that's where my focus was in school. Anything to do with law or anything, that's where I went. I read the newspaper on a, you know, high profile cases, because back then they had newspapers. So I read newspapers. I would do extra, write on things I read in the newspaper that were case related and give it to my history teacher, because he was the closest one I could find to just look at it and give me feedback. At first, he questioned it, saying, "What is this? What are you doing?" And I told him. So it was criminal nature items that I really was interested in. So, and then high school, I just went from there. And I knew the whole time I wanted to go to law school. That was all I ever thought about.
Was there a specific teacher that maybe fostered that in that desire in you?
I can't think of any. Can't think of any. It's just I loved reading the law and everything. I guess maybe growing up back then, you know, the news. My parents didn't shield me from the news. And back then, the news was a lot of sometimes bad things, you know, wars and everything. And it scared me. Probably now it scares people too. But it scared me then as a child. But it would be on in the room. And it was just a part of life. So I think I got interested in the law in that way.
So cool. And I read, you know, in your bio that you also worked at Bell's, the local favorite here.
Yes, yes. I started there at 16.
What was your job at Bell's? What did you do?
I was a clerk, a regular retail clerk, but then I was promoted into the office. I say promoted, it was probably lateral, I don't remember, but I did the daily cash reports and everything in the office.
So hardworking.
And auditing in the office, yeah. So it was neat. I worked there, went to high school, stayed there through college, and then there was a period of time I left and came back, and I did it in loss prevention. I took a position in loss prevention behind the scenes. I was doing the behind the scenes white collar things.
Isn't that interesting?
Because
it's kind of Brent coming, you know,
all the way
to today.
Yes, yes.
So if you had to say, sum up, what does the clerk do?
You know, my Mrs. Shore always put it, the clerk does everything. They don't know where to put anything else, because we have two really main sides of the house, the court side and then the comptroller side. So in courts, you'll have everything related to all cases filed. So we are the ones who support the court system. We are in court regularly with the courts and judges, processing all the decisions made by the judges. And then all the cases filed. We also handle the fees paid. Now, if you have a fee that's $500, it could be broken down. 50 cents goes here, a dollar there, $3 here, to this trust fund, that trust fund at the state. Every month, our system automatically, we call it, just throws those amounts into the buckets, prescribed by statute. I have something very thick that's prescribed by statute for all the fees, and it goes to the state trust funds. And that's how all the clerks do this, and that's how those trust funds get that money at the state level. So there's the court side of the house. And then there's, we do passports and marriage licenses, one of the more fun things we do and happy things.
Every once in a while we see a wedding out front.
Yes,
it's beautiful under the gazebo.
Yes.
And yeah.
And the adoptions are fun too, to see that. That's always happy. It's sad as time has gone on. We don't have the same traffic. It used to be you would see the attorneys day in and day out coming in and have a relationship with them and talk with them. It's odd. That's not there anymore.
You mean like adoptions or marriages or all of the above?
All the attorneys would come in. They would do the mortgage foreclosure sales on the courthouse steps. So it would be crowded in there. And then a clerk would have to go out and do the auction. When I first started, I was in county civil, which was right next to circuit civil. And county civil did, I would hear the gumball machine crank next to me in circuit civil. Every time somebody came to the counter, they would crank a gumball machine, pull a gum marble out. It was filled with marbles, and they'd put it in a bucket. It took me forever. You know, I was young, and I thought, I can figure this out on my own. I don't need to ask anyone. Months went by, and I finally said, what is that? Why do you keep pulling marbles out? It's how they chose judges. We had to have a random selection. So there would be green and blue marbles in the, you know, there you'd have two judges at that time, and that's how they assigned it. And then when empty, you pour the box back in, you start the process
that's
over.
That's how they assigned.
They're now in our museum upstairs at the courthouse.
Oh, that's
the historic courthouse.
Yeah. And you guys have a lovely museum, the historical courtroom
as well.
Yeah.
Yes, and that was interesting. I was so glad to be a part of that project. My predecessor put me on the committee. He at first, you know, he said, "Well, I don't know why you need to be in there, an attorney, you know, at first." And I said, "But I love this, and I grew up here, and I just want to be on it and help." So he said, "Oh, okay." So, and we had to tell everybody at the first meeting, "I'm just here to be a part of this, you know." That's it. So it was a lot of fun. And when they took the walls out, they found horsehair in the walls. That's how they used to
like insulated
the courthouse. A lot of rich history there. There's time capsules in various places. Buried. It's one out in front that's buried. It'll be opened in about 100 years.
Oh,
roughly.
Wow.
Yeah.
So many.
I wish we could be there to cover that one.
I know.
Like early Taylor Swift's before Swifties existed.
But that's a little bit
leaving
of the history.
Nuggets.
Yeah.
So that's the court side. So you said adoptions, passports,
right,
marriages, divorces.
Right.
Jury
divorces,
duty.
You name it, medical malpractice cases, personal injury cases, everything that would impact a person's lives. Now, under the comptroller side is where we handle all of the finances for the county. And in that respect, we have the checkbook, if you will, and the county manages their budget. So that's the way it is in most of the counties with the clerk and comptroller role. There's only a handful of counties, less than that, that aren't comptrollers. So what we do is we pay all the bills. We have to put it through a lawful public purpose test. And if it's a lawful public purpose, we pay the bill. So it's a pre-audit function. And we go through this process. Now there's accounts payable, and those are the payables. And then we have the payroll department. We have the board accounting, and those are the reports you'll see at the end of the year. And all of the accounting, it's on the clerk to produce those reports. We do the interim financials. I'm the only clerk with a port. So we have the port reporting to do and the finances there. And then we have treasury management. Now, treasury management handles all of the investments for the county. And then the inventory, we have do the inventories all over the county. So if you can imagine even this equipment, if it's stamped with a tag, we go around and look. I just passed my person out there.
Yeah.
So that's what they pull our computers, and they want to verify every year, you know, that these things exist. They're still there. They're accounted for. And that's a lot when you consider the entire county, public safety, utilities, public works. We go everywhere for that. So there's that as well. And I feel like I'm forgetting.
But that's onto the comptroller side.
Yes. All on the comptroller.
This is on the comptroller side.
So, except clerks. The clerk's accounting is for the clerk court side.
Correct.
My court function.
So in this world, would you say it's a 50-50 split between the comptroller and the courthouse side? Or does every week kind of vary?
I would say it varies. It's hard to put a percentage on it like that. Now, our county has grown exponentially just since I've been clerk in 10 years. I came on in 2015 when my predecessor passed away. I was appointed and then ran my own in 2016. So in that time frame, we're pushing about 500,000 now, if I'm not mistaken. It's about the mid $400,000 range, mid 450 range. So back then, I don't think it was even, it was barely three maybe. It's the, to see the changes in such a short amount of time has just been astronomical. And we're, clerks now are all over the state. Our issue, big issue now, is funding. And it's troublesome. It's very troublesome to have the resources now to meet that demand with. So clerks all over have been, our funding was mainly off of speeding tickets years ago, traffic tickets. And that has declined exponentially over the years for various reasons statewide. So we've been looking to secure a funding model. There was something called Article 5 back in the day, and it went to a vote, and the voters voted that the clerk's side, the court side of the house, would be funded by the state and not local. So that's what kind of started this ball rolling on the funding issues. So we have not had a sustained methodology or model of funding for a very long time. And luckily, our delegation is very supportive of this. They understand, and they've been helping us through the years, and they want to help us get there. So we're very appreciative of that.
So help educate me on this. Talk about the relationship with the county, the budget, the state budget. How does it work?
I have three budgets. I have the state budget, which supports the court side. So when you think about it, though, when we get money from the state, I think I calculated in the last 10 years, my budget went up on average $113,000 a year. And that had to account for the increases we all see in the FRS, the employment share, employer share. It accounted for increases in insurance. I had to pay it out of that. I had to pay a cost of living increase out of that, what could be. And then we also have to pay for the jury, the difference in jurors. So my budget goes to all of that on that side. There's and then I, whatever I have left over, I can pay the employees with. So we have to do what we can. It's been a balancing act. I have about 23 fewer. I had 113 employees 10 years ago, and I have 90 now in courts. So, and they're bringing on three new judges, and I don't have the staff. We're going to have to try to work with that. Luckily, they're working with us. So, yeah, the funding's a serious issue statewide, not just for Manatee County.
What other challenges do you face when it comes to, you know, issues with the clerk? I mean, you mentioned the funding, staffing. What are the things you guys kind of encounter?
Well, and then on the other side of the house, I have the county side budget. So that's all the comptroller side. And then the third one would be the Department of Revenue, because we have a child support enforcement program under our roof. My predecessor thought, you know what, I think we can maximize these collections if we bring it all together in one roof. So a lot of counties, you'll have a different Department of Revenue office that does the child support program. We have been very successful. They're an awesome team. They're a mighty team. So I get funding from DOR for that as well. I have two different fiscal years that run too. One is in July 1, and the other one's October 1, the county. And
that's
and
how you know you're good at bookkeeping, when you can have
two fiscal years.
Yeah. It's a lot. The staffing lately, you asked me challenges. I would say after COVID I've seen things I've never thought. I mean, it's just really hard. You're balancing two new generations entering into the workforce, along with us old people who are already in there. I call myself old. I can't, don't feel it. But we are, it's a very different mindset in a lot of ways. And what worked for one generation and it might not work for another. So trying to find what motivates and what people want. I always like to tell people, this is your own technical institute. If you don't want to feel like going to college, come here and you can work your way up and learn. And my director of courts came to our office, gosh, I think she's going on 40 years now, but she's been there a long time, and she is a wealth of knowledge. You don't get that knowledge in a textbook. You have to live it and be there. She can pull administrative orders that aren't even online. She can find them in her files.
She's a walking encyclopedia.
Yeah, and every day is like popcorn in the office with a different issue coming in the door, and somebody, you know, it's something odd, and it's something we have to do the research on to find out exactly how to handle or properly what we do, and then Lori, my director, will have that information, and she'll say, I remember an AO back in, you know, 1980 something, and it's a lot.
I have
a lot of moving parts.
So many fun questions come to mind. So first, like, I want to know, this is a very serious question, not really. I want to know, what's the number one reason people try to get out of jury duty for?
Oh, my God. Like,
what's the best
that's
excuse?
That's a great question.
What's the best excuse you've heard for getting out of jury duty?
I haven't heard as clerk. I have not heard excuses. As a prosecutor, I was a prosecutor for over 11 years, and you would see all kinds. Back in the day, you would see people come in torn shorts and everything, so the judge would send them home and to change and come back. There were all kinds of just different. You'd see some people angry and some people, you know, it's. But then for the most part, there were a lot of people who just really wanted to serve. They saw it as their civic duty. It was their part. One person put it to me, you know, we have people in the military who go off and do their duty. This is the least I can do for my civic duty. So,
yeah, I got called one time for jury duty down here, and I never got the I had to go sit over there for a couple hours, and then it was all called off. So,
oh, yeah, that can happen.
Great experience.
Yeah.
got out of work for a little while. And yes. So you've broken new ground as the first female clerk in Manatee County. How has that shaped your perspective in the role that you're in?
You know, I grew up, to me, it hasn't become a thing until lately. I just never thought that there was limitations on me as a female. I never felt that way. And I was lucky to have a predecessor who absolutely didn't see it, things like that. So he wanted what was best. He said, and he told me, I just want to see you have better, do better, you know. And it kind of like I knew him for almost 30 years. So
wow.
He was kind of like another father figure to
sure.
me, you know.
How'd you meet him?
I met him. I came to work here when I was, 1990. So I came in and I worked for him then part-time while I was in school. And through the years, I spent almost 8 years there. And then I talked to him. I said, you know, I really want to go to law school. And it's scary when you're young and you quit a job. And that, you know, because I worked for 7.5, 8 years, I was quitting. And I was walking away from employment, you know, to go to law school and focus on that, you know. And I was young enough, I could do that. And he said, Angel, you know, you're making the right decision. Because I said, I hope I'm doing the right thing. It was my last day. And but I always used to joke with him. He used to always kick me out of my comfort zone, you know, always. So he encouraged me. And I kept in touch with him all through law school. And then in summer breaks, he would let me come back and work at the office during summer breaks. Yeah, because I needed a job in the summertime.
So he's an institution here
yes.
in Manatee County. What would you say were some of the leadership lessons that you learned from him?
You know, when he told me he wanted me to succeed him when he retired, I thought, I didn't know what that looked like. You know, what does that look like? Will I be in training some hours of the day, sitting next to him, reading his emails, and he's going to tell me? I kind of laugh now thinking about that, because there's no way you can do that. So he told me a few key things. I won't disclose them here, but he told me a few key things. And I thought, what good is this? And it was one at a time, not all at once. It was just, I think it was when something would pop up with him. He'd pull me into his office and he'd give me some obscure advice at the time. When he passed away and I was doing things, all of a sudden that advice just came to my mind when it needed to. And I went, oh, this is why he told me that, kind of thing. So it was so simple and didn't have any relevance for me at the time. But boy, it sure kicked in later.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
What sort of ways have you honored Chips? I know there are a couple different ways that you guys, and even some subtle ones too.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us a little bit about how you honor his legacy?
Well, we have it, the tree outside that was in the landscape. It's called the Gumbo Limbo tree. And I remember, I said, I'd never heard of such a tree when we were planning, you know, out there, and he was really focused on that Gumbo Limbo. So we named it after him. It's grown and flourished. There's a plaque out there. The gazebo was named after him, and the courtroom, and the directors all pitched in, and we bought a portrait that hangs outside the courtroom after he passed away. We had commissioned an artist to paint the portrait of him off of a photo that his family gave us. Sometimes I think it's laughing at me when I go by.
It sounds like
we've had since I took over, we had the pandemic. We've had major hurricanes that I've never grew up having when I lived
here. Five hurricanes in the last four years.
Never growing up here, I never missed school because of a hurricane. It was just one of those, just a given. They didn't come here. That's how I thought as a child. Now we had that, and then I had to tent the courthouse. We had termites once, so I had to tent the entire courthouse, and I didn't want to shut down that Friday. So they're throwing the tent over and just to get it ready. And we're in there working until the last minute. And then we moved some of the, customer facing things to the judicial center. So it's been a challenge in that way.
Like you said, in here for a decade, you've been also an institution here, a steadiness in the presence in the county. This board has seen lots of new commissioners. You've had different things coming in, coming out. We've got a new board now. We had DOGE in here 2 weeks ago. Like, what's that like from your perspective as a clerk doing our regular auditing, doing our regular inventory? What's that like for
It's a lot. It's a lot because, clerks are personally liable. We're not personally liable if there's a criminal intervening factor, but we are personally liable if the statute, I won't be able to say it exactly, but if we cut a warrant. A warrant is a check. So when you see the warrant list on an agenda, that's our checklist. It's all the checks. And if the clerk knows something's being paid that shouldn't be and has knowledge of that, then I am personally liable for that, no matter what the amount is. That's a very daunting thing. And we're all pretty proud of that aspect, though, because it keeps us very focused on the task at hand. And it's just transparency with the money and making sure everything's accounted for properly. I can't do anything, though. If I were to disagree with a board, for example, I'm not even going to give an example, but if I were to disagree with a decision, I can't withhold funding because I don't agree. It has to be for a lawful public purpose. So theoretically, you could make all kinds of policy, but the clerk can't disagree, just do something because they disagree with it.
Right. Mm-hmm. I know, it's fascinating.
Yeah. So people think of the clerk, they might not necessarily think like cutting edge technology, but you guys have put a lot into the various technological efforts that kind of support the clerk's office. Could you maybe name some of those and some other ways that you guys have become more efficient over the years?
I want to go back to, it was my predecessor spearheaded putting us online, court records online. So that is a task in and of itself. There's actually a big matrix developed by between the then council that he had and the IT department. And across the top of the matrix are all the users, and on the side are all the different types of things they can see or not see. And there's letters assigned based on confidentiality. Confidentiality, though, takes place very simply at the case type level. Juvenile, for example, we wouldn't see juvenile, mental health, those kinds of things. Then it takes place at the docket level. Certain documents, probate inventories are not, they're confidential, they're locked down. Or you could have pieces in a document. A victim in a sex crime case is confidential, so their name will be redacted. This matrix has to comprise and use all of those confidentiality rules, plus the users, who's accessing, and who is accessing this information, and can they see it? So he had to get that in place and then get this out there. So it's been an interesting process, but that one is out there. We have the redaction mode we were kind of AI before AI was cool, I guess, because the redaction piece was programmed to delete numbers, specific numbers, and anything that's something like that, like a number. It wouldn't recognize names, like I said, about a victim, but it would recognize the basics, credit card numbers, all that, and redact according to the law. It's all based on the law. Our matrix was used on the state level. In fact, I still have a seat on the Florida Courts Technology Commission. I was put on the Access Governance Board, which is an offshoot committee of that. But now I sit on the commission. I'm one of three clerks who have a seat at the table with all of the judges from all around the state and technology officers. In fact, we meet this week, a little later this week. So we meet quarterly. And we all the things you see and the rules that are changed and everything that go with that technology in courts, this is where when everybody came on live, it was the Access Governance Board who we had to go through all the applications and approve and make sure they were up to the standards. And the standards are written by the Florida Courts Technology Commission. So there's a lot of work that goes into that. You have CAPS. It's called the CAPS standard. I can't remember what it's for, but that is the Judicial Viewer Standard. There are rules and laws that govern our case management system, case maintenance system. It's very complex, but being a lawyer, I like that stuff in there. Yeah. So I like to go to those meetings.
So, you know, just looking at the last 10 years, so much has changed even since 2015 technologically. Yes. And now you mentioned AI is coming in. So how do you stay current with also these statutes and legal requirements, but also wanting to be efficient? How do you balance that?
Yes. The association we closely follow the legislative sessions every year, and we go through them. And sometimes you'll see something, as I'm sure happens to everyone, during legislative, something comes out of the blue and you go, oh no, do you know the impact this will have on us if this happens? So we have to, you know, to catch that, talk to people and come to the middle ground somewhere, because sometimes it could really derail something because it's unintended. People may not know what, I'm trying to think of something off the top of my head and I can't, but it could be something simple that people are doing with properties, and it affects our, because we are the property record keeper as well in our recording and official records department. So we have to keep those records.
Amazing.
How do you guys ensure that residents see the clerk's office as being approachable and visible? What have you guys done in that regard?
We try to put ourselves out there for the public. So our child support division asked me if they could try an experiment a few years back, and it's been very successful. They go to the Boys and Girls Clubs at the time parents would come pick their children up to save their children from having to come in during work hours and take time off work. They set up there and they help parents who have questions about child support. They do Grandparent Day. When there's a grandparent outreach they do for grandparents who have custody of children. And they put themselves available. They just did that, I think, recently, or they're about to. And then we have a booth at the fair with all the information about our office as well. As you know, we also have the four historic parks and the historic records library. So those my predecessor slowly put into place over time. And it was really a great effort. And it's been, we have become a victim of our own success. We help the children with reading programs in there. I believe it was the Agriculture Museum that has, they help with words and things that they do the SOAR for four program,
yeah,
with reading,
four, yeah.
Soar and Four,
yeah.
Reading. They do that. They just a wealth of community outreach. Really awesome stuff we get out there.
Can you
there.
Tell us a little bit more about the historical properties? Because I drive past, was it Old Cabbage Head?
Oh, yes.
The train out
the
there.
The train
on
we
64.
Played on as children.
Yeah. Uh-huh. right. Tell us a little bit more about this historical properties.
Okay. That's where it all started. Manatee Village Historic Park started by my predecessor. And I've actually seen the old documents when they moved the church that's on that property across the road. And you have to picture, Manatee Avenue was not like it is today. It was a two-way street back and forth. There was nothing out east. There was no interstate. There was no anything back then. I remember all of that back then. So they moved it in the middle of the night so they wouldn't disrupt traffic. And they brought the church over across the street and put it on the property. It sits there to this day. Then the courthouse and the schoolhouse is there. And the store, the Wiggins store is there. And there's supposedly a, it's kind of, nobody's been able to verify it, but upstairs was a rooming, it was like a boarding house or rooming house. And Elvis Presley stayed up there when he came to town once.
That's cool.
I always heard that. My historians can't verify it. They say it's not verified. So it's really an interesting place. And that's where it all started. So, and then gradually over time, the Palmetto Historic Park, the library, the old library is now the old historic library there across the street from the newer library. And then the Ag Museum is on the same property. So we honor the agricultural history, which is a very rich history in this area. And I would encourage everybody to go and see their events. They have really great events. They used to have a taste agriculture, Taste of Agriculture, where farmers would bring in and people would bring in fresh food and everything at night. And there's events where you can sample the food. And that's, I haven't seen one of those in a while, but we bring in guest speakers to different ones. And the Maritime Museum is another one.
Yeah.
That's a big one.
That's closed at the moment, undergoing remodeling. But that was not remodeling, but preservation, needed preservation. So that was really amazing. The night we had a night there, it was a fundraiser, and we were able to put an old Florida style food out for the dinner, and it was great. It was wild hog, and it was I tried it. It was delicious. Ed Childs was kind enough, and he made that dinner, and his team, and they brought it out, all kinds of old Florida dishes, and then at each table we rotated tables, and everybody got to talk to a commercial fisherman, a Coast Guard member, someone related, because that is one of the last, I think it's one of the two last commercial fishing villages left in Florida. Yeah. And the museum itself is amazing. It was a schoolhouse. Then it was turned over to a gentleman who was a weaver in the 70s. And he weaved a lot. He had a loom, I think, and everything. If that's what you call
a
it.
Weaver.
A loom.
Yeah.
It was, then he after he had it, the county, Mr. Shore got with the county, and the county took it to show the village, the commercial fishing, and tell the story. And Mr. Shore was working on the folk school right when he passed away. So we picked it up and ran with it. My team was awesome. They did a great job and ran with it. And that's where they had classes. The goal is to someday have a class where grandparents can work with their children, teaching their children older skills. I actually took the fish painting class, which was great. They recycled the fish over and over, and the pieces that were not at the end, that were no longer usable, they used out in the fishing community for the bait traps, the crab traps, my understanding is. So but that was very interesting because it was an ancient practice of people saying, look what I caught, before they threw it. They put an ink on it and put it on a piece
printed it.
Yes. So, but this got a little artsy. You could put all different colors and bedazzle it. Yeah. So that was neat. They had all kinds of classes, net mending out there, and
that's so cool. So, you know, obviously you're into history, into these amazing records. You've mentioned the historical courthouse. What's, if you were showing someone, like, this is the coolest record I've seen so far, what comes to mind as something that we've preserved or that you just love looking at?
I think of the Historic Records Library right up the street from us right now. That's where I went to get a library card as a child. It was library, if you can think. So I went there, but now it houses all of our old records, and I mean old, old stuff. And looking at all the old land records there, we had, and that's my goal, to make that a gem for people to go do ancestry research. We're getting that in line. There's one computer there now set up to do ancestry.com. And then hopefully we will be able to do a little bit and upgrade that a little bit so that we can do that. And if you, there's so many older records there now, that the Sanborn fire insurance maps, the old
those
maps.
Are great to look at. Those are the coolest. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, what was it? Jonathan Torkos. We've worked with him several
times.
Oh, yes. He's awesome. And that, what she's talking about is one of, what, two Carnegie libraries that we've got in Manatee County.
Right.
We've actually got two of them, which is amazing.
Right.
It's not indicative of every county. Not every place gets that. So.
Right. And the records there are just, we had an a Saturday where we did an Ancestry Day or had a look up things. And a small group of people came. They were so appreciative because they got one-on-one time with a historian. And we had a packet ready for people for searching genealogy. We gave it to them and it was at the ready. I want to do school programs there to teach kids about the history. It's fascinating, this history.
We when I first got here, the little
alligator fountain
that you guys had out there. So they used to have like live alligators, small ones.
Yes,
and we did a little piece on it, and that fountain now sits over at the historical library, like the remnants of it.
The remnants,
yeah, kind of the like the little foundation.
Yes,
whatever. Any chance of bringing the alligators? Yeah, back?
What?
Like what? Yeah,
do you know what would happen? Time I look at that picture, I
no
just,
fence, no nothing.
No,
it was like you could literally reach in there if you wanted to and grab a little.
Something fascinating, an anecdote to that. Yeah. Judge Smith, I don't know if you know, he's fascinating. You might want to have him talk because he does all the history, local history. history and local books. And he puts on history talks, you know, for Kiwanis. And one time he was showing a slideshow. And I don't know if it was the library, county library, or our historic records library. There were pictures. Two pictures stick out in my mind from early here in Bradenton. There was both of them involved little children, like toddler age. And one was a little girl sitting with a cute little dress on next to an alligator with her hand on its snout. Its mouth was open. And everybody gasped.
It was alive?
Oh my gosh.
I think it was from the picture. It sure looked like it. Cool. I don't know that it was a statue, but it sure looked like it. But the other one, they had a small child in a wagon and the alligator had a harness on it pulling the child in the wagon. I just can't even imagine back then.
That's the Florida Man Children.
Yes. You know.
Florida Man Museum.
We should have Florida Man Museum.
Yeah.
So, it's different nowadays.
Just looking ahead, you know, what would you say is the vision for the clerk's office?
To stay up on technology. We introduced Arby, which is our, you know, the ChatGPT piece where you can, or I say ChatGPT, you can go on. It's the
digital assistant.
And we had a naming contest among the employees and they named it Arby. And I think it's spelled A-R-B, A-R-B-Y or A-R-B-I-E. But that's a take for Arby Chipshore. So initials Arby. That was their tribute to Arby Chipshore. So that's on there. We're staying ahead of AI. I've challenged all my directors. Let's see how we can make things run with AI. Now, it's going to take teaching it. So every time you use it, and it has what they call a hallucination, and it may, you know, AI isn't perfect yet.
Sure.
So I think in our each division, if we can find one thing that works and you keep doing it over and correcting it, eventually it gets down to a well-oiled machine.
Yeah, it
we do
learns.
Use bots here and there. So we've got workflow bots. Automating as much as we can, we have to. But AI is definitely the cutting edge. It's changing every day.
It is.
I took my directors and I to a chamber class they had for about an hour and a half on this, and it was absolutely phenomenal and mind-blowing what it can do. So I'm looking forward to using that more in our office.
What would you say, you know, to the 2,000 plus county employees, you know, who your office will audit? Like, what should we be mindful of? What do you see in terms of mistakes or questions that your office gets?
Well, on a day-to-day basis, our finance division, specifically accounts payable, will call over and they'll ask questions. And that's normal, back and forth that would go on all the time. And that's to make sure we have documentation.
Right.
When you're talking thousands of people, there's going to be something that doesn't get sent over or something gets missed. And that happens from time to time. So that's where they do the pre-audit function. Then if it leaves there, it goes on and my audit team does spot audits. So I would say just don't panic. It's our job to do these rolling audits. So just give us all what we need and as close to the accurate as you can find and get in your records and everything. And we need that. It's not a gotcha.
Right.
It's to keep things open and accountable and showing the things. But the reports will be on our website
so everybody can see them. So what would you tell the public, you know, if we're having these conversations, you're doing your spot checks, like what would you tell the public? How is it working with the county and the interaction? Do you find the staff cooperative?
Oh, yeah. Well, while we're doing this now as we speak, oh, yes, my team, my audit team has said that they come over. They don't have a problem getting things or anything like that. And I think now there's that understanding we're going to call. We're not calling every day. It's just we go back and forth because it wasn't uncommon that the county would call us and say, what do we do with this, with X? And if we have a finding, if it's something that's minor, we can call and say, hey, this could be a finding. It looks like you owe X amount. And then people historically just pay it. And then it's mentioned that it's paid back.
I was so impressed with your team. There was a date wrong in a document that we had. It was so specific and minor that I don't even remember the exact agenda item. But one of our supporting documents that we submitted to the agenda had the wrong date. It like reversed, like 5/8 instead of 8/5, something very, very typo-like, right? And there was probably 6 or 7 pages that was submitted, and your office, Robin, called and was like, hey, did you mean this or this? Because we want the record to be correct.
Right.
And I was like, dang, I can't believe you found that. That's impressive. And, you know, just to know the accuracy, the level of perfection we're striving for,
right,
I think is so cool that there's someone there doing that. Because those historical records, you know, when we're long and gone, people are going to look back and say, well, was it May 8th or was it August 5th?
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And we're here to help. We want to help ahead of time. My predecessor did when the county would call him for assistance with things. We want to be that resource, too. And we've been, in the past, resource for the county. We want to do that because we can help. There's a lot of experience across the street that's been around a while, institutional knowledge. So we want to help with that any way we can.
Yeah. It gives us a lot of confidence to know, because you are a separate entity, because it's separated from us, that when we do something and it's verified by the clerk, that's our stamp of like, okay, stamp of confidence. We're doing it the right way.
Right,
so I've been very impressed working with your team.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Yeah, and you have a very important and very impressive communications team, too. So, you know, honoring the past, preserving the past, leveraging technology, all these things, and even rebranding from a standpoint, and I know you guys won't toot your own horn, but I'll toot it for you. They just, the clerk's office recently just embarked on a rebranding campaign, and it won some, was that a state award or a national award?
It was a
state award. Yeah, and that's the state Jennifer one. Lindsay in the background. She's wonderful, very talented. So congratulations to you guys
Thank
for that
you.
Honor, too.
Jennifer is an example of what's changed in 10 years. I don't know what we would do as an office if we did not have her, because there's so much fraud that comes out. We've got to communicate it out. The media isn't the same at all like it used to be. So there are several different ways, social media, and in addition to the traditional media, there's just so many pathways to information this day and age, and it's hard to get a handle on it. And I had no designated person for that when I first started, and it grew, and things grew, and people had more questions, and it just seemed right that we get the information. And we try to go out in speaking engagements and everything as often as we can about different topics.
So, what advice would you give to maybe young professionals who are looking for a career in public service? What would you tell them?
Oh, I would say stick it out, because when I came in to the clerk's office that day, I can still see myself coming in 1990, the day I started. I had no idea I'd be here. I mean, I was at the state. I thought, you know, I want to prosecute homicides. And I did. I prosecuted a few of those. I prosecuted gang members. I prosecuted all kinds of things. And it was great. But that can wear on you. It's sad to see the victims. And it just gets sad, and you start to wonder, hey, is there any good out there? You know, but I'm very blessed to have had two careers that I absolutely love, being a prosecutor in this, and my whole heart and soul is into serving and doing. I'd love to bring more to the kids. I have to give Jennifer a shout out. We did, we've just started this where we just got invited to our second school. And as you all know, we do government day now. We started a government day and called our government partners. And now we go in, and the kids rotate, and they come to our classes, and we're all stationed in different classrooms, the tax collector, the clerk, and you all, the county, the sheriff, everybody. I think there are others there as well. And we give, in the judiciary is there, and we give a presentation. And I do a whole presentation on the court side of the house and the comptroller side using a bicycle on the PowerPoint. So
cool.
It's really great. I just use a bike, and I use to explain everything. And the kids get it. They're so engaged. So we have another school, because that's how we accommodate when they say, well, we have a class of 50. Well, we can't have 50 people come in, and we wouldn't have the room to do that properly. So we said, hey, what if we did this? And we go out and present. So it's catching on, and it's really great.
That's so cool.
I'm very excited
about
that.
You have a lot of really cool events. I saw community shred events where people can bring their documents.
Yes,
tell us about that.
Our next one's in November. November, we do East Manatee at MTI. And then in the spring, we do it right after tax season at the fairgrounds. And that is catching on big time.
So what can people do? What are they like?
Two bank boxes filled. And that's all we can let you do at one take, because the lines are getting so long. We dump them in in the receptacle bin, and then the shred company just uploads it like they do our daily work. We work with the shred company that comes and shreds the documents that have met retention, and we have to keep that too, the retention schedules for everything, the finance records, the court records. We have to stay on task with all of that. So that that is another way. And by the way, with technology, we realized, as being the ones with the oldest records online, there had to be a tech retention. So we worked with someone to build us a retention model for electronic records. Otherwise, you'd have to go through and delete and destroy, rather destruct, because they need destruction date. You need to destroy them. So, and you keep certain issues like the docket entry. So what we did, we found somebody who built a program that we can do it destruction electronically now.
That's really cool.
And I saw, like, on Valentine's Day, or like, you know, days that people like to get married on Halloween, that you even have like group weddings, like big weddings.
On Valentine's Day. I keep it to Valentine's
Day.
Makes more sense to me. But I was a little hesitant at first. I thought, is this gimmicky or not? You know, and then because it's never been done here, but that's never a reason not to try something. So we, other clerks did it. It looked really successful, and it has been wonderful. And I feel the happiness, people thanking me and everything. It means a lot to them. I didn't think it would mean that much to people in a group wedding, but it does.
It does.
It really does.
You had, like, how many couples this past year? I saw
about 12.
Yeah. Wow.
But we've had up to 19 in years past, I think.
That's so cool.
I want to say one year we had 19. That's another thing that grows every year.
Well, we always stand out here. We get a front row seat to it. So we look out the front window. Anytime there's something going on over there, we're like, oh.
We noticed some employees, they might have been county employees, blowing bubbles one year out in the background. That was cute. I thought that was so cute. And the couples loved it. So it was neat to see employees getting into it on their breaks.
Spread the love, Manatee County.
All right. And that sound means we have reached our lightning round, clerk. Fast answers to the following quick questions. Are you ready?
Yes.
World famous lightning round. Here we go. Historic record, or your favorite historic record or artifact in the clerk's archives?
The marbles. The marbles sitting up in the marble gumball machine.
That's awesome. One word to describe your leadership style?
Grow other leaders.
What is your favorite Manatee County landmark?
Oh, I'll say the historic courthouse.
When you're not working, what's one hobby that helps you recharge your battery?
Reading. Love to read.
Dog or cat person?
Both, but I have a dog, German Shepherd.
Oh, me too.
I prefer dogs.
Okay.
Don't tell my cat.
She will hold it against you. A piece of advice that you still use from Chip Shore?
Oh, the wisdom. It's growing people. It's hard to, it's just growing people and giving people the opportunities. Making those tough business decisions isn't easy, but you got to think of the office, and that's what he taught me.
In one word, your hope for Manatee County's future?
Oh, my hope is that we can stay what we were when I was growing up, and that was together. No matter what, no matter the background or anything I can remember as a child, people coming together and being supportive of one another, whether it's after a storm or a tragedy, or even a tragedy that happens on a national level. People came out, if you saw each other in the store, people who didn't even know each other necessarily talked, because we all live here, we're residents here. And I can't describe that feel-good feeling, that it just felt like it was home. The whole town was home, and I hope we never lose that.
So as we close, what is one thing, if you know, somebody listens to this podcast, what's one thing that you hope they walk away knowing about the clerk?
Well, an enthusiasm. I definitely have an enthusiasm for what I do. We've got over 1,000 statutory functions. So with all of that, and the things I want to accomplish with those functions, bringing them out like to the children, to everything, I definitely have an energy and an enthusiasm for that, and want to share it. I love to share what we do. It's impossible to cover it all here, but there's far more. And if anybody wants us to come out and present, we'd be happy to do that.
Well, we certainly thank you for your time. And if anybody needs to get a hold of the clerk, if they want to know more about what you do, where can they go? What can they call?
ManateeClerk.com. Yep. And our number is 941-749-1800. We do have an app. do have an app as well. On the App Store, you can download our app for free, Manatee Clerk, Manatee County Clerk of the Circuit Court. And if you download that app, it's real time. I have lawyers who've told told me they take it to court. They can look up things right in the palm of their hand. So, and it's, everything is on there, and it will give you notifications in hurricanes. By the way, if I can plug hurricane season, please download your documents, important documents for your home, land records now before a storm hits. They're there, they're free, and don't let anybody think that you have to pay for them. And you'll get mailers like that, people saying, give me $90, $95, I can give you your documents. You get them for free on our website. So those are good to have on hand if there's a storm, because we have to pull the website down to ensure that we can save so it doesn't ruin.
Why aren't those illegal?
The
scams. Why aren't those illegal?
Well, if you think about it, they're basically sending those cards out saying, I can do this for you for $90. So technically, you could give your neighbor $90 to print something off their printer that you could. It's really, it is, I will say it's a scam.
Yeah.
I say it's a scam, and it is. And this day and age, there's so many scams.
Yeah.
We will never call you in any way, shape, or form. The court will never call you. We're getting a lot of people getting called, being threatened to be arrested.
Yeah, I saw you guys just posted on one the other day, too. So
yeah.
Thank you for helping keep the community informed.
Yes, we try all the time. Yeah. Every time we get one of those calls, don't let anybody tell you you owe them money, buy gift cards for them in lieu of going to court or being arrested. No, 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 we don't do that.
Yeah, anytime they ask you for payment and Target gift cards,
yeah.
That's usually a red flag, right?
Yeah, you'd be surprised, though.
I know.
Someone came in to pay $900 one time, and they said they got a call, and they wanted to straighten it out. My clerk had to tell them, you've been scammed. So they didn't pay. They didn't pay.
Thankfully.
They were stuck. Thankfully, they were not going to do anything on the phone. They came into the office to do it.
Good.
So
smart.
Mm-hmm.
And that wraps things up for this episode of Chambers Changes and Conversations. On behalf of the people behind the scenes doing work that matters, I want to thank you, Clerk Coloniso, for your time, your expertise, and for doing work that matters right alongside every other county employee. So thank you very much for being here.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you.
And with that, I'm Casey Zempel.
I'm Stephanie Garrison.
I'm Angel Coloniso.
Make it a great day to live, work, and play
in Manatee County.
The opinions expressed by guests of Chambers Changes and Conversations do not necessarily reflect those of Manatee County government or its employees.